Parenting a child with ADHD can be stressful. Chad's here to help. Parent-to-parent training courses offered by Chad are designed to fit easily into your already busy schedule. Get the training you need online, on demand, or in your community. Learn from parents who have experienced the same challenges as you. Topics include managing ADHD, proven parenting strategies, and educational rights for your child with ADHD. Register today, chad.org/parents. Chad members eligible for special member pricing. Click, join, get involved.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, AttentionTalkRadio.com, AttentionTalkVideo.com, and AttentionTalkNews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at Facebook.com/AttentionTalkRadio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and we have Dr. Ari Tuckman in the house. Tonight, we're getting ready to talk about ADHD and sex, what we are learning. It's a fascinating show, and like never before, we're going to pay attention to attention. Ari's one of our favorite guests. This is not one of those shows, but sometimes we've riffed a show off of a sentence before, and it's always a very learning experience, which is really, which is just a blast. Real quickly, tonight is March the 16th in the year 2016 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I got a couple announcements. Number one, this year's International ADHD Professionals Coaches Professionals Conference. Actually, let me start this over again. This year's International ADHD Professionals Conference, hosted by the ADHD Coaches Organization, otherwise known as the ACO, is being held in Reston, Virginia from April the 28th to May the 1st. I'm a big fan of the ACO for doing this. It's a coaches conference, but they're expanding it to professionals to bring other people in, educators, mental health professionals, parents, teachers in to really learn about the coaching paradigm. To learn more of that, go to ADHDprofessionalconference.com. Originally, I wasn't going to go to it because I had a personal thing, and I haven't missed a conference, an ADHD conference, like 2008, but it looks like I'm actually going to be able to attend. So I'm real excited about that. So go check that out. Dr. Barclay's asked me to promote ADHDfund.com, which is a crowdsourcing website to raise money for small-scale research worldwide, which is really important. And then I got a whole host of stuff. See, the cool part about being the host of Attention Talk Radio, when you interview really smart people like Ari, you learn stuff. And then all of a sudden, people think that you know stuff. So first I got to promote Kids Who Color Outside the Lines. It's a telesummit that starts March the 21st and runs to April the 3rd. And I'd like to thank the event sponsors for inviting me to come on and present to that. Also, Spirit-Led Parenting, How to Connect with Your Inner Guidance, Trust Your Values, and Parenting with Conviction and Confidence. That's another telesummit that's starting on the 28th that I think runs for 3 weeks. Then there's the Behavioral Shift that runs from April the 4th to April the 21st. Again, thank you, everybody, for inviting me to come on to the show because you think I know something because I've been interviewing Ari Tuckman for so freaking long. And then also being asked to talk at Core Brain Journal, which is Dr. Charles Parker, he's doing a thing that I don't know when that's going to air. We're going to kind of interview that. And then I don't know what's going to go on, but Ned Hollowell reached out. His people reached out to me yesterday because he's starting a podcast for, like, distraction.com or something. So I think it's starting the 22nd or something like that. And go listen to that. You'll hear about it. I don't know what it's all about. But anyway, the cool part about it is you listen to this show. We have a lot of really smart people like Ari on, and then people actually think that you know something about what you're talking about. So, all right, thank you so much for what you've taught me. I owe it all to you.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but it's always great to have a conversation with you, so I'm always happy to be here.
Well, it's fun. Let's go through some stuff. Ari's been on the show a gazillion times. He's got, like, his own podcast, More Attention, Less Deficit. If you go to his website, adultadhdbook.com, he's got, like, probably 3 million downloads at this point in time. He's speaker all over the place. He's actually got a practice in the Pennsylvania area, but he really works for Chad most of the time for free. A couple of his books. Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functioning Workbook. That's one. More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. That's the second one. And the Integrative Treatment for Adults with ADHD. I messed that one up. Let me go back. It's More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and Integrative Treatment for Adults with ADHD. You can get all this information, like I said, at his website at adultadhdbook.com. And Dr. Tuckman, this is like your 100th time on the show. Welcome.
Always a pleasure to be here.
You guys are laughing out there. Literally, he's the only host that we bring on. Literally, I'll just send him an email. Literally, we've riffed it a couple times where we just kind of get on, and I always learn so much from him because we're always paying attention to attention. And today we're talking about his sex survey. He was on a year ago talking about that he was doing this, and there was a variety of people. I think Melissa Orlov, Eric Tivers, ourselves, Attitude Magazine, ADD Crusher, ADD Diva, Totally ADD. We're all like kind of putting the word out. And so he had this survey put together, and would you have like 3,000, 4,000 respondents?
Yeah, 3,000.
Which is the power of the internet and all of us working together. All those people are friends that we've had on the show. And the idea is we want to kind of collect data because the hypothesis really is that ADHD is it's not just at work. It actually kind of bleeds into the bedroom a little bit. So you just want to talk about a little bit what inspired this, and we'll get into – that was a year ago you did the survey, and we're going to talk about some of the results right now. So can you just tell us a little bit about what inspired you to do this?
You know, so – the idea behind the survey was that, you know, we all know that when one person in a couple has ADHD, it affects the relationship. You know, it doesn't just affect, like, who loads the dishwasher and did you get your math homework done, but it affects how the couple gets along with each other. I think Melissa Orlov does a really nice job of talking about how there's the ADHD behavior, then there's the other partner's reaction to the ADHD behavior, and then there's the ADHD partner's reaction to the other person's reaction. You know, so it's this kind of ping-ponging back and forth that can happen. So it goes from an individual thing that one person has ADHD into a couple/relationship thing in the sense of how these people are getting along with each other. So because couples where one person has ADHD are going to struggle more on just like daily life kind of stuff, that obviously can have a negative effect on their sex life as well. But having good sexual chemistry and good sexual experiences together is a tremendously powerful way for couples to reconnect, feel good about each other, let go of some resentments, kind of get on the same team to be able to work forward on whatever else needs to be done. So the idea is to help these couples and any others, but, you know, in particular, these kind of mixed couples, as I call them, one person with, one person without ADHD, help them do better sexually and romantically so that overall their lives get better. So the idea of the survey then, before we start just slinging advice, is let's figure out what actually is going on there, in the sense of, like, really, how does ADHD impact the couple's relationship overall and their sex life in particular? So that was kind of the idea of the survey. And, you know, as one hopes, you know, a lot of this kind of hypotheses going in, you know, indeed turned out to be true. But what was also really cool is there are a few things that came out totally not what I was expecting, like dead wrong, totally surprised. But of course, that's why you do research. You know, if you're convinced you know it all, you don't have to do any research to prove it. You just go with what you think. So, you know, I love the fact that this survey disproved some notions that I had.
Share that with me. I'm interested. What did it disprove that you thought before going into it?
So, you know, there were a few things that came out. One of them was, so I asked two kind of related questions. One of them was looking at how large a repertoire of sexual activities does someone favor, like a smaller repertoire or a larger repertoire. I also asked about how much do people enjoy novelty, in other words, trying new things in their sex life, as opposed to staying with the familiar things. And, you know, of course, we all know, like, you know, I put that in quotes, we all know that people with ADHD tend to prefer novelty. They tend to get bored with the same old thing. So kind of having some variety, mixing it up a bit more, seems like it should appeal to people with ADHD more. So I totally would have bet $100 on this, that, you know, for these two questions, the people with ADHD would desire a larger repertoire and would desire more variety. Nope. Turned out not to really be true. Like, the non-ADHD people and the ADHD people pretty much answered those questions very similarly. So, dead wrong on that one. Yeah, I know. So, like, you know, that definitely caught me by surprise, was not expecting that. Another thing that came up that, that again, I would have totally bet $100 on was that, that kind of the advice of if you tend to get distracted during sex, if you have trouble with kind of impulsivity or delay of gratification, if you have trouble kind of getting out of your own head and reading your partner a little bit more effectively, then stimulant medication, which helps you pay attention to boring meetings, should probably then also help you pay attention and do all this stuff even during a, you know, hopefully very enjoyable sexual encounter. So therefore, you know, the easy advice that I was giving and others give is, you know, stimulant medication is helpful during sexual encounters, not just during boring meetings. So either take your meds or plan your sex in terms of the timing so the meds are working. And so I asked people, you know, do you find that stimulant medication, you know, is, you know, very helpful, somewhat helpful, a little bit helpful, not helpful, you know, makes it, you know, or actually, I think actually I said makes it much better, a little bit, somewhat better, a little bit better, down to, you know, makes it worse, da-da-da-da-da. And lo and behold, most people who actually had meds on board during sexual encounters, most of them, like 40-something percent, said doesn't make any difference at all. And then there was like this equal smattering of responses of, you know, but balanced. If some people said it makes it better, some people said it makes it worse, but, you know, like 4%, 10%, 5%, whatever, on each of those other answers, which really, they cancel each other out. So really what it means is medication does not seem to have a positive effect or even a negative effect or much of any effect for most of the people who take it. So that general advice of taking stimulant medication before sexual activity is, it's not well-founded. Like, that's not going to be helpful advice. It's like saying drink a big glass of water before you have sex or something. You know, like, it's not helpful necessarily. So, But to bring it to it, you know, bring it to attention then in terms of this show, I think it, you know, it becomes one of those things where if you pay attention to what you think you know, then it's that, you know, confirmation bias. It's that you keep finding the proof that supports what you already believe. So until you actually examine something, either through research or just in your own life where you really try to look with, you know, clean eyes, you just keep proving what you already know, and then you stay stuck where you are, where you already are.
Ari, I'm having a hard time because I'm like, we're going to be here for 4 hours tonight because I had a flood of ideas and everything that you said. So everybody, just bear with me as I try to give birth to some of this stuff. Because, as always, whenever you and I are having a conversation, it always goes in a direction I'm kind of scratching my head. So let me tee this up by saying, I did a very impactful show a couple years ago with Kenneth Bloom, who in 97 coined the phrase reward deficit syndrome and associated with a gene. And I asked him, it was one of the great things about being a host is when you ask like somebody a question that they'd never been asked before. And I said, Dr. Bloom, are we addicted to drugs? He said, are we addicted to dopamine? He said, you're correct. We're actually addicted to dopamine. The drugs that we're addicted to impact the dopamine. And as it kind of unfolded, he started talking about like chocoholics and cocaine and all that kind of stuff. And he says, like, an orgasm is like the ultimate when it comes to dopamine. And it's funny because I would have bet dimes to donuts, as you said, that they would be more into novelty. But at the same time, I'm listening to you, and I'm going, yeah, well, there's a dopamine thing here. So does there, is and what flashed in my mind was, how's it say? Even good sex, even bad sex is actually good sex at the end of the day. Yeah, I don't necessarily know.
And right.
Then I had a flash of other thing that I have to throw out here is that Ari and I had this conversation this afternoon, and a woman one time said to me, and I want to put this for context, is that she, off the cuff, she says, you know, when it comes to sex, men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots. And that was an aha moment for me because I began to realize that the plumbing is different, the hormones are different, so the experience has got to be kind of completely different. And I had to insert that in as you listen to the rest of the show, kind of keep that in the back of your mind here. Because when we kind of go back to some of these things in terms of distractibility and novelty, I'm not so sure that both parties are in it for the same reason. They're getting something different out of it. I mean, we look at it and say sex and intimacy, but I think the come from is a little different. And I'm throwing that in there for people to begin to like listen to what we're saying and kind of dissect some of that stuff a little bit. So I need to run to a break, but before I do, Ari, you want to comment on any of that stuff before we go?
Let's actually talk about distractibility and women and men, kind of what the gender difference is. Because I think there's some really good stuff in there. But let's do that after the break.
Sounds good. So before you go, it's www.adultadhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and Executive Function Challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We got Dr. Ari Tuchman in our virtual studios. We're having a great conversation about attention and sex and intimacy. Before the break, we were kind of teeing a few things up. And Ari, you were kind of setting the table on some things you want to kind of expand on. You want to pick that up and go from here?
Sure. So, one of the things that I found in the survey is I asked people, how often do you get distracted during sex? And, you know, the obvious guess would be that people with ADHD get more distracted than people without. Except, of course, the other obvious guess is, well, maybe they get less distracted because hopefully, if you're doing it well, sex is a very high-stim, interesting activity. So therefore, actually, maybe they'll hyper-focus and they'll get less distracted, right? So that's the sort of, you know, so it's kind of like you can make an obvious argument in both directions. As it turns out, Yes, indeed. People with ADHD do get more distracted during sex than people without ADHD. But also, what came out is that women get more distracted during sex than men do. So, therefore, you know, it. So, and that's kind of not surprising. You know, like, kind of, we know that from just general kind of, you know, sex research and whatever, that women are more distracted. Also in the survey, women endorse the idea that it's harder for them to switch gears in order to become sexual in the first place. That there's more of that, like, that, you know, they're kind of, they don't get into the mood as easily as men do or as quickly. And these are generalizations, so any two people it could be different. But, and there's more that sense of like, but there's those dishes in the sink and, you know, I still need to send that email and, you know, I need to check this and we need to do that. And we didn't talk about, you know, what are we doing for a lawn service this year? And, you know, so for women, it's harder to kind of let that stuff go to get into the mood in the first place and then to stay in the mood during. So, you know, and again, coming back to the theme of the show here in terms of attention, I mean, that's a lot of attention stuff.
Yep.
And there's actually, for women with very low sexual desire, part of the treatment that's done by, you know, some of the newer methods of treatment really actually involve mindfulness and really kind of being on the lookout for any kind of passing sexual thoughts or feelings or any little bits of sexual interest, kind of noticing them and then trying to sort of build on them. And I think that, you know, for couples with ADHD, I think that, you know, it's so easy for sex to get kind of squeezed out in the busyness of life, just kind of keeping up with the normal day-to-day whatever. So I think, you know, it's all the more important, I think, to really be on the lookout for those sexual feelings in yourself or in your partner. If you feel like your partner is kind of, you know, sending some signals or coming on to you or whatever, to kind of look for them and to be open to them, you know, to kind of to default to yes rather than defaulting to no, so that, you know, there's some momentum that can build and things can happen.
Yeah, yeah, and you had to do that, didn't you? You had to go to mindfulness. You had to shortcut this whole show and go, listen, let's cut to the chase. Let's just get to mindfulness like right now, Jeff, because that's where we're going to get no matter what. So we can cut this radio show.
I'm going to call Mark Burton. He's going to take over from
let's
here.
Do a radio show and just say, okay, listen, it's all about mindfulness. We'll be done.
Right.
And anyway, I'm saying that kind of in jest because this is a show about paying attention to attention and we're going to kind of cut to the end here a little bit because one of the things that I really learned in the research that we'll talk about is a lot of it has to do with mindfulness and the awareness and treatment and there's the general satisfaction of the crowd at large is if there's treatment and people are more mindful of us and you're paying attention to kind of what's going on because at the end of the day this has a lot to do with attention and the satisfaction on intimacy and sex really kind of goes back to are you able to – is there enough time – like time is distracting you. Like if there's enough time, it's okay, but if there's not enough time, it's all right. If they're angry, if there's all these other things that are pulling you away attention-wise, then it inhibits both the relationship and the intimacy, which really goes back to the whole thing of being mindful to begin with is stop and pause – and think about what's kind of going on because the symptom of this is when the intimate relationship's not working, it's a symptom of a bigger problem. So you want to comment on that?
Yeah, definitely. I think that, you know, it's a lot about kind of what we're paying attention to. You know, so it's not just, I mean, sometimes it is truly a matter of, like, things need to be done differently.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes in terms of couples, it's about kind of what are you paying attention to? That, you know, if we're feeling frustrated with our partner, we're going to pay attention and notice all those frustrating things that they do. So sometimes part of therapy involves And, you know, we were having this conversation, you know, about coaching as well, but but it's kind of this idea of what's called positive attending. So basically making an intentional effort to look for the positive things about your partner. What are they doing that you're happy about? What do you like about them? What did you used to like about them? And, you know, so, but really kind of actively looking, kind of managing your attention to not just take that easy route of like, they left the glass out, but to focus instead and look for the nice things that they're doing. Because even in the best relationships, it's not all good. And, you know, there's this couples marriage researcher named John Gottman, who's like kind of this, you know, big wig in the, you know, couples research. And what he finds is that the happy relationships, the happy couples, have a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative events. So what it means is that even in the happy relationships, they still have negative encounters. They still have things that they disagree about, but they have a lot more of the positive, of the good events. And if you think about it, you know, 5-to-1, which means that, you know, out of 6 events, 5 of them are good. So 6, if we divide that out into a grade, you know, that's, so 1/6 is like 16. So that means the happy couples are getting B's. They're not even getting A's. They're getting B's.
Yep.
So, like, that feels fairly achievable to me, you know, so that it isn't this thing where, like, every moment has to be bliss in order to be happy. So to have some reasonable expectations. But still, to kind of, you know, to strive for those better interactions, and that means looking yourself for the positives, but also maybe sometimes it means pushing our partner to focus on some more of the positives and appreciate those positives. And of course, you know, having those positive sexual encounters definitely, having some good sex. And of course, by sex, I'm speaking broadly, meaning not just intercourse, but any kind of erotic thing that you might do together. It gives that glow, that positive feeling towards each other that lasts beyond the encounter. And if you're looking forward to having sex tonight or tomorrow or this weekend, that also tends to bring out, hopefully, if you're smart, better behavior leading up to it. You know, it's kind of like you don't want to mess it up. So sex can have a positive effect on the couple before it happens as well as after it's happened.
Want to kind of... There's really a kind of lot here, so... Hold that thought. I'm just going to kind of go to break, come back, expand upon that a little bit, because I can probably reference about 6 shows in that. So before we go real quick, Ari Tuckman, go check out his website, www.adultadhdbook.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Ari Tuckman, and we're having a great conversation. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about how all roads lead to mindfulness, and basically, you were saying a few things, Ari, and I'm putting some words in your mouth, is
like the flirtation process and having fun takes the edge off in terms of pressure, and sex and intimacy is not always in the bedroom. Sometimes it actually starts at the dishwasher. And as we begin to talk about this, we start, it's really about kind of focusing sometimes on the other person, which goes back to some of the research I want to talk about, is that treatment and that those types of things tend to lend itself for more healthy, because if a person is going through that stuff with ADHD and they're more self-aware and regulating their attention and stuff, it seems to bode very well for some of this stuff. But before we get into that, just this notion of flirtation and playfulness as a means to kind of, and it's not just in the bedroom, as a part of integrating that into everyday life. You want to speak to that for a second?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, certainly it's easier to transition into the sort of playfulness of sex if there's some playfulness during the rest of the day. And, of course, the anticipation of sex can hopefully put somebody in a more kind of playful and flirtatious kind of a mood. But, again, I think it, you know, it comes back to attention in terms of, like, you know, what are you paying attention to? What are you focusing on? What are you highlighting in what you say and how you say it and what you do and how you do it? Because, of course, there's lots of ways to, take rather ordinary things and make them much more kind of interesting, if you know what I mean. So yeah, I think it's about, like, looking for those opportunities and then, you know, taking those opportunities. And then, then the other person kind of picking it up, you know, picking up the offer, so to speak, and then, you know, like in improv, you know, kind of picking it up and then taking it another step further. So it kind of builds that anticipation, it builds that connection, and then it makes that sexual experience all the better.
So in the research, it talks about, in terms of relationships, that common to everybody is they feel like their partner with ADHD has worked on their ADHD, in other words, their mindfulness or doing something, feel that the treatment overall is actually kind of effective, feel that the partner is sexually generous. I think that's kind of interesting. We can come back to that. Partner reads them well and feels comfortable around those. These are the key markers, if I'm understanding the research right and what you've gleaned, that these are the positive attributes that really kind of come out. You want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. So, you know, one of the things I actually asked like 75 questions at the end of the survey. So I think, first of all, I was insane to think people were going to fill out 75 questions. But amazingly, people did. So I think it's a testament to the interest that people have in this topic. But so one of the questions that I asked was about current relationship satisfaction. So overall, how satisfied are you in this relationship? Then I asked another question, which was overall, how satisfied are you with your sex life? Now, what we know is that these two things tend to be rather correlated, that if you're happy in one, you tend to be happy in the other. If you're unhappy in one, you tend to be unhappy in the other. And I think that the causality goes both ways. You know, being happier in the relationship makes you more likely to be happy in your sex life. Being happy in your sex life makes you more likely to be happier in your relationship. So, and when we did an analysis, I hired this stats guy to kind of do some serious number crunching. And, you know, what he found was that they overlap by about two-thirds. So, you know, that's a pretty good correlation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then what we also did, I had this stats guy do it, and thank God he did it because I would have no idea how to do it. But he did this kind of deeper analysis where he looked at and said, okay, out of all the questions that I asked, what are the things that kind of best predict relationship satisfaction or sexual satisfaction? Like, what are the things that drive those? And what they were is, you know, like the things that you mentioned. And, you know, so I broke it out by ADHD status, so ADHD yes or no, and then also gender, so, you know, male or female. So there's four different kinds of people, so to speak, you know, two by two. And You know, generally speaking, the things that were sort of common to everybody, there were definitely some differences among the groups, but the things that were common, the five things that were the biggest drivers of relationship satisfaction was that they felt that their partner has either worked on their own ADHD or on the partner's ADHD, depending on who has ADHD. They felt that ADHD treatment has been effective, so, you know, they're kind of reducing the negative effect of ADHD on the relationship. They felt that their partner is sexually generous. Now, this was a driver of general relationship satisfaction. So, like, there you see it. Like, there is that overlap between mm-hmm. sexual and relationship satisfaction. They also felt that their partner reads them well and knows how to please them sexually. So, again, this is relationship satisfaction we're talking about. And then, finally, that they feel sexually comfortable with their partner. If we look then at the, you know, biggest drivers of sexual satisfaction, a lot of them sound pretty similar. So they feel that their partner has worked on, you know, their or their partner's ADHD, partner is sexually generous, they feel sexually comfortable with their partner, their partner reads them well and knows how to please them sexually. And then, you know, for the women, they felt, like those who felt that they themselves were sexually generous, that had a positive impact. So, you know, none of these are surprising. Like, these all totally make sense, and I think that's a good thing that we're not too surprised by that. But that there is that overlap, and I think that it supports kind of the basic premise of this survey, which is that improving your sex life is not just about improving your sex life. That improving your sex life will make your relationship overall better. So all that crap about loading the dishwasher and all those heavy decisions about what to do with the kids are easier when you're having good sex with your partner, and good meaning however the two of you define it. But also that in order to have good sex, you got to work on the relationship piece of it too. So you can't just be some knucklehead guy who thinks that, you know, if you just get laid more, everything's going to be better, but that you got to work on the relationship in order to make the sex life better. But there's payoff on both sides of this. And I think that, you know, so that's really kind of the main point here, is that sex is important and it's too important to ignore. That if we just focus on, you know, how many dishes have we each put into the dishwasher this month, we're going to be missing this other kind of important part of relationships, because otherwise you're just business partners running a family.
I'm sorry, go ahead and finish your thought.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
So I'm listening to you, and the thing that comes to mind, particularly when relationships and kids, is pressure, because I'm looking at, like, barriers, because we're talking about the good things, but you also have some barriers, is like you're too busy switching gears, partner's not interested because they're distracted, there's anger on both sides, and the pressure of the world seems to be like kind of a little bit of an elephant in the room to a degree, because it's what distracts everybody away from that focus on the other partner, where you're paying attention to them, you're noticing them, you're working with them, that type of thing. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, as you know, attention is very selective. And, you know, and you can walk in the door and there's all sorts of different things you could pay attention to. And, you know, if you, I don't know, like, you know, I've had all these kind of situations in my office where, and if I was to be honest and admitted it at home as well, where it's this thing where, you know, there's 50 things right in the room, but instead the person focuses on the one thing that's wrong. You know, and that sends the day on a certain, down a certain path. You know, so yeah, I think that, you know, we tend to have a bit of a passive, or we have this belief about attention that it's this passive thing that happens to us. But, you know, in reality, I mean, a lot of it is very active, or that at least we have the option to make it active in terms of what do we focus on and what are we not focusing on. And if, you know, so like if you're in the middle of a sexual experience and you get distracted, on the one hand, you could say, I must be getting distracted because this ex isn't very good. And actually, you know, now that I think about it, I'm not really that happy with my partner. And, you know, I think they've gained some weight. And I don't really know what I'm doing anyway. I feel kind of uncomfortable. And maybe I've gained some weight. And, you know, away we go. And, you know, in no good directions down that path. Or you could catch yourself getting distracted and go, oh, well, whatever. That happens to anyone. Okay, back at
yep,
it. What's
yep.
a fun thing happening right now that I can focus on instead? You know, so it's kind of like we have choices in those moments. Now, there's sometimes fleeting and in almost invisible choices, but I think we do. We have choices, and, you know, you want to seize those choices and do something good with them to the extent that you can.
So you pulled the everything leads to mindfulness trump card on me in the middle segment. So because this is where I really wanted to kind of insert it, because you've done this survey. We've got a lot of really great information. And the one thing that comes out to me, again, it's really a lot about attention. And earlier I inserted that notion that I had heard, like, men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots. And leading up to this, about 15 minutes before the show started, I shared this with Ari, because I really think that, you know, when we have a tendency to laser focus in on what we're paying attention to. And for me, the plumbing is different. The hormones are different. The experience have got to be totally kind of completely different. And that's why that men are like microwaves and women are like crockpots kind of resonates with me. And that notion of getting outside of your head, for those with ADHD and the self-regulation, and begin to, like, look at the other side and noticing what's kind of going on, being mindful of yourself and getting out of your head, and being mindful of the other person, because the gist of the research that I'm hearing from what you've put together is, if I had to narrow it down just really one thing, is to self-regulate, to kind of pause, remove some of the distractions, and focus in on your partner. And earlier in the show, you talked about Melissa Orloff. She talks about the ADHD symptoms, response. So if you have an ADHD symptom, your partner responds emotionally to that ADHD symptom, and then you respond emotionally to that, and it just kind of spins out of control. And that whole understanding of what's kind of going on and able to downregulate and just say, listen, this is the deal. I want to kind of focus in on that person, and I want to be present with them, both in my relationship and in intimacy. If you can do that, what I'm hearing is, or things are there, but that barrier is to be present at those times. And again, I'm trying to extrapolate this and boil it down to one thing our listeners can kind of focus on. Doesn't have to be right, but I'm interested in your comments. Is, like, if you can be present in your relationship and be present when it comes to intimacy, is that the right place to focus on? Will that solve a lot of the downstream problems? Thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's interesting, because I think that, you know, when it comes to a sexual encounter between two people, I think there's an interesting kind of shifting balance between, on the one hand, focusing on our partner and reading them well and, you know, responding in good ways to what they're doing. But then there's also times where we need to shift the focus onto our own pleasure. That if you become too focused on the other person, then that becomes kind of weird and not good, you know? So, you know, particularly if it becomes this thing where I can only feel good about myself if you are clearly having a great time. And if you're not clearly having a great time, maybe that means that I'm not doing this well, or I'm not something enough, and, you know, self-doubt kind of creeps in.
Yep.
You know, so you don't want to go that far on it. But I think that there's this, you know, in good sex, there's this kind of shifting balance between focusing on you, focusing on me, focusing on you, focusing on me. And that, you know, in order to, for many people, in order to kind of get up to the point of orgasm, they need to really focus in more on their own pleasure and become perhaps even more selfish, to use that word, in that moment. And maybe part of focusing in on their own pleasure is focusing on the physical sensations, but it could also be focusing on the experience of, you know, kind of the whole experience, including what the other person is doing or what they're saying or how they sound like or whatever.
Yep.
So there's a lot of attention going on in all that. And,
yep,
of course, there's also the other side of it when you're trying to move away from orgasm, where it's like, no, 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 not yet, not yet.
Yep.
You know, whether,
yep,
you're a guy or a girl, you know, where you're going to, again, shift. It's that old, you know, oh, think about baseball,
yep,
cliche.
Yep.
But, you know, there's truth in it. Whether you're thinking about baseball or focusing on that crack on the, you know, in the tile or whatever, like, you know, that you're kind of shifting your attention away from this highly stimulating sexual encounter,
yep,
so that you can, ironically, kind of, so you can bring the stimulation down so you can actually stay in it. So,
yep,
so yeah, there is a lot of attention going on in good sex.
It all comes down to attention, Ari.
Mm-hmm.
We've done so many shows. Your daily diet attention. Can you not pay attention? It's just really endless, and it's really about self-regulation and being witness to your attention to really kind of manage it. So, need to wrap this up. Any final comments or thoughts?
You know, I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that we're talking about this. And you know, as always, we have a conversation, and it sparks ideas in my head. And you know, so I'm always happy,
mm-hmm,
to start throwing ideas around with you. It's always such a fun time.
It's an absolute blast. And one of the things that is I really want to lead away with is, if you walk away from this, listening to this, with one nugget, it's that ADHD is not confined to work and school. It permeates your life. It can impact food prep. It can impact travel. It can impact sex and intimacy. It can impact your ability to get organized and take medications. It's 24/7. And what we've tried to illuminate here is a little bit of how it impacts those relationships in the bedroom and stuff like that, because usually when the sex starts to wane or the intimacy starts to wane, it's really a symptom of some other things. And if you can begin to adjust your attention and move it in a different direction, then I think you can have a little bit more positive outcome. So, all right, with that, can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on the show. We're cooking on some other ideas, so we're looking forward to having you back.
Sounds good.
All right, everybody, go check out Ari at adultadhdbook.com, and check us out on Attention Talk Radio at www.attentiontalkradio.com. And with that, we'll catch you next week for another great edition. Take care.